In new national survey results out today, researchers trying to figure out how widespread campus sexual assault is and what the climate is like on campuses surrounding issues of rape, sexual harassment, partner violence, and more. The survey collected information from 27 campuses around the country.
The UW-Madison was one of the schools taking part in the Campus Climate Survey on Sexual Assault and Sexual Misconduct, organized by the Association of American Universities. At UW-Madison and around the country, about one in four undergraduate women who responded to that survey reported that they had experienced sexual assault.
Dr. Sarah Van Orman joins us now. She's the Executive Director of University Health Services at UW-Madison and chair of a task force managing the survey. Dr. Van Orman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and thanks for discussing this really important topic.
Well, first of all, what kinds of things was the survey trying to find out?
So there were really three things that the survey was looking at. One, it wanted to be able to look at what was the prevalence of these different kinds of sexual violence on our campuses. They also wanted to get information about what students thought about the climate, what were their feelings about what was happening, and finally to ask students about what their knowledge about student campus resources were and procedures for responding. So those are really kind of the three big components of the survey.
Now, in terms of the results themselves, we've been seeing statistics maybe similar to these, but what seems especially unusual about this is just the scope of the data that came in. Tell us about how that compares to the data we've had so far.
Certainly, the 1 in 4, 1 in 5 number that's been used many times has been found on other surveys in the past, and there are differences between the AAU survey and previous surveys. But what was unique about this was the large number of campuses that participated and the large number of students that participated. So previous surveys had either been on a small number of students at a large number of campuses or one or two campuses. This survey really was unique in that it was all students on many campuses, and it allowed us to get much more information, particularly about how students' experiences differed on campuses, and also differences in the kinds of sexual assault and misconduct they were experiencing, and then also differences between the experience of various different types of students. So this is really valuable, unique information.
Now, this comes in the midst of a national conversation about sexual assault on college campuses. How does this new information fit into the picture of what we already have, what we think we know from current research?
You know, I think it really confirms much of what we know, that this is an extremely prevalent concern. It also confirms that why this is something that institutions of higher education pay attention to. One of the questions in the survey asked about what consequences the students had experienced, and it gave them a choice between things like academic consequences, physical, emotional. And academic consequences was one of the most common things that students reported, with over 50% of students indicating that that had been an adverse outcome. So we think about why institutions of higher education take this on. There's lots of reasons, but essentially what the students are telling us is this is keeping them from getting an education.
Now, I want to get into the numbers here at the UW. Now, as we mentioned, you've said the 1 in 4 undergraduate women who responded to the survey, again, this was sent to all the students on campus, they say they experienced some form of sexual assault. Does that fit in, again, with what you've seen, and how does that compare to the national numbers that came back?
Yeah, so what the 1 in 4, or 27.6% of our female undergraduates, indicated that since they had been enrolled here, they had experienced a sexual assault involving being physically forced or while they were incapacitated. And sexual assault includes penetration, attempted penetration, as well as other things like sexual touching and other kinds of assault. That number is actually slightly higher than what the national average on the survey was, which was right around 23%, but very much keeping in line with what other campuses found.
We're talking right now with Dr. Sarah Van Orman, Executive Director of UW-Madison's University Health Services, and we're looking at a new national report on sexual assault and sexual misconduct on college campuses, in particular right now at the UW. And alcohol is a factor that often gets linked to sexual assault. How did that link play out here at the UW?
Yeah, so alcohol is a very, what we would say about this is the common factor in sexual assault. And I want to be absolutely clear that consuming alcohol or being incapacitated is no reason, no one deserves to experience a sexual assault. We want to focus the alcohol issue, which has historically been focused on the victim, we want to change that to how alcohol affects the bystanders and affects perpetrators. What we know is that our students told us that students who had experienced a sexual assault, over 70% of them on our campus, the offender had been drinking. We know that also that alcohol is commonly used as a way for offenders to make their victims less able to defend themselves. And finally, we know that alcohol changes the ability of bystanders to recognize dangerous situations. For example, in one of our campuses, it asked students if they had witnessed someone, a drunk person or someone who was incapacitated, heading for a sexual encounter. And over half of our students indicated that they had seen that, significantly higher, actually, than the national average. But many of them really were not able to or didn't know what they needed to do to intervene.
Now, you said significantly higher than the national average here in Wisconsin at UW. What do you make of that?
Well, I think we certainly know that high-risk alcohol use is a challenge on our campus, like it is many institutions of higher education, and something that we work on. But our high-risk alcohol consumption among our students and our undergraduates are higher than what we see nationally. So it's not a number that surprises us, but it definitely is a number that really gives credence to some of the work that we've been doing to reduce that among our undergraduates.
Now, there are programs that all incoming students have to go through. One involves being educated about consent and sexual assault and all of those things. Is alcohol part of that education process that students go through now, considering the link and considering the strength of those numbers here at the UW?
Yeah, so there's two mandatory programs that all incoming undergraduates are required to participate in. The first is called Tonight, and Tonight is our sexual assault and dating violence program. It includes information about not only resources and reporting, how to respond to a friend, what consent is, but also helps students learn to recognize how to be a good bystander. And some of the scenarios in that program deal with very much that situation, that what are the red flags when someone might be incapacitated and a potential perpetrator might be using alcohol in order to make a victim less able to respond. So although that's not the primary focus of the Tonight program, it definitely is a piece of it. We also have a mandatory first-year education program called Alcohol EDU that all incoming students are also required to complete. And that program focuses on recognizing high-risk drinking, helping students to understand how many drinks, what that does to their body physiologically, helps them set better expectations about alcohol. So we have, for the past 2 years, required all of our incoming students to complete both of those programs.
Now, how often do cases go unreported?
Well, that's one of the things that is, definitely we knew, in kind of from very limited amounts of data, and certainly anecdotally we knew that. But this survey really provides us some solid information in that, and it is sobering. We know that on our campus, we think about a very serious incident of sexual assault when someone was physically forced and was actually had a penetrative assault, which is very serious. Even in those cases, only about 26.1% of students reported that. When they had that same penetrated assault, but they happened involving their incapacitation, less than 10% of students reported that.
We're talking right now with Dr. Sarah Van Orman, Executive Director of UW-Madison's University Health Services. We're looking at a new national report on sexual assault and sexual misconduct on college campuses.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a student, a parent, or if you work on a campus, what do you think works? What needs to change when it comes to preventing sexual assault on college campuses? What kind of programs are in place on your campus? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. We continue our conversation with Dr. Sarah Van Orman from UW-Madison's University Health Services, looking at a new national survey on sexual assault and sexual harassment on college campuses. The survey included 27 campuses around the country, including UW-Madison.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think needs to change on college campuses? If you have a stake in the story as a parent, as a student, someone who works on a campus, what's your perspective? Call 800-642-1234. And we were talking earlier about the link, the factor of alcohol in these sexual assaults on college campuses. And given the Wisconsin drinking culture that we hear about in the state, is there any effort, do you think, to coordinate an approach addressing both those things as sort of a vector on university campuses?
I think that that's an area of emerging intersection. And, again, we want to be very clear that no one deserves to be sexually assaulted, and that a focus on victim consumption of alcohol at putting them at risk is really kind of takes the responsibility off of where it needs to lie, and that's with perpetrators. But that being said, I think that we are moving forward on our campus with a dialogue to say, how does a culture of high-risk drinking or an alcohol culture kind of set the stage to facilitate sexual assault? Again, I don't want to focus on alcohol as the only cause. There's lots of factors that are contributing, but certainly this is an important part of the solution, and I think campuses nationally are starting to kind of think about that. On our campus here, alcohol prevention and efforts are coordinated through the health service, but also in close collaboration with our Division of Student Life, our police department, our Division of University Housing, and we work very closely, and we think about these two issues as very different issues, but ones that intersect in which we want to coordinate on. So we actually do this all the time here at UW-Madison, particularly in a state that where we do have challenges around alcohol.
We have a caller on the line now. We've got Patty with us in Door County. Patty, hi.
Hi.
What is your take on this?
Well, just listening to the talk, I totally, am on board with the fact that, yes, sexual assault should never happen. There's no excuse for it, period. But my question is, what kind of education is being directed toward these young women that put themselves in compromising situations? Is there something being done specifically to target them and say, ladies, don't be stupid. Don't put yourself in a situation that you know probably won't end well. As an example, my son, who's a sophomore at a different UW school, just the other day, he and his friends were hanging around in the dorm, and these freshman girls came up to them and said, hey, do you know where we can find a party? What's being done to help these young ladies, particularly, freshmen, for example, that are very naive, don't go there?
Patty, thank you so much for the call. And Dr. Van Orman, how do you draw that line or walk the line between safety education and putting the onus on women, for example?
Right, absolutely. So I appreciate the caller, and in particular, I appreciate her mentioning the issue of first-year students, because we certainly know, and the survey supported, that first-year students are at the greatest risk. They're in a new environment. They're kind of new experiences. They don't know people. So absolutely, that's an area and a group of students we want to be spending a lot of time with. I think it's very important that all students, young women and young men, understand what's happening on their campus, that they have this information, that they have good safety information, they have good information about alcohol so that they can make responsible decisions. But I also think it's important that we educate young women about the all of these things. But I think it's also really important that we spend a lot of time talking to our young men and saying, young men, don't sexually assault. That, you know, don't rape. That's probably the most important message that parents and family members and friends need to talk with them to understand why is it that that perpetration happens? What are all those factors? And how do we engage men as part of the solution for this?
And what resources do you want people to know about parents, staff, students about sexual assault and to help survivors?
Yeah, we've got a lot of resources here on our campus, and I know I'm familiar with the rest of the system. I think there's a lot of resources across the system. The first is here at our campus, starting with prevention. We have our Tonight program. We also have a really excellent parent handbook that you don't have to be a UW-Madison parent to download. It's available on our website at www.uhs.wis.edu that I, even parents of high school students, that is it's titled Talking to Your Student About Sexual Assault. And I think it's a wonderful resource. We know that parents who talk to their children about healthy sexuality and consent and boundaries, that those students are more likely to report if something happens to them. So that's a great resource I would mention. Here at the health service for students, we have our medical and mental health services. We also have a confidential victim advocate where students can come and meet with someone if they have concerns about themselves and a friend. Finally, here on campus, we have through our offices of the Dean of Students, the offices of Equity, Diversity, and our police department are all places students can go if they want to make a report and they've experienced a sexual assault. So we think, you know, whether a student is ready to come forward and report, we want them to come forward to those offices. If they just want to talk with someone confidentially, those resources are available as well.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Sarah Von Orman, Executive Director of University Health Services, talking about a new survey of sexual assault and sexual misconduct on college campuses around the country and at UW-Madison.